What is your name, sir?
Robert Allen Fox, Jr.
And what's your ABC number for the record, sir?
267144.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Committee for your revocation hearing. We learned that two allegations on your warrant, and based upon information that's been presented to the board, you were notified of this hearing back on June the 1st of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes.
It is stated on there, among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one sign in to represent you, therefore may we assume that you're going to represent yourself this morning, sir?
Yes, sir.
And we're doing this by telephone. That means that you cannot see us today. However, there are five board members, panel members, participating in your hearing today, and I just want to introduce them to you, although you will not be able to see them. See us. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Dia Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Ray Kiwanis, and my name is C.T. Wright. We also have in the room with us today Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby represents the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer of today. Mr. Fox and Mr. Westby, do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God and you so affirm? Mr. Fox.
I do.
Thank you.
I do.
Thank you. As I indicated, Mr. Fox, you have two allegations on your warrant. I'm going to read each of them. Please tell me whether it's true or false. The first one reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7. It's demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing. On or about April 12, 2018, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated April 19, 2018. So is that true or false?
It's true. I missed the first date, but I went the very next day on Friday. It was a Thursday that my color came up, and I admitted it. And I went the next day. My parole officer called me, and I went the next day and dropped it.
I'm going to suggest that you put that on the record when we go into phase two, since you did go the next
day. Okay, yes.
Okay, so just tell us in phase two what happened there, sir, and the circumstances. Okay. So I'm going to mark that as true because you did miss it that day.
Yes, I did.
Picked it up the next day. Okay, sir. The next one reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 3. It's demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 2202 East Roosevelt Street in Phoenix, Arizona, on April 13, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts was unknown, thus you was in a stranger from supervision. Sir, is that one true or false?
True.
Thank you, sir. Based upon the admission of Mr. Fox, I'm going to move to find that he was in violation of the terms and conditions of the supervision. He was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, and I believe that was you, Mr. Kiwanis, sir. Who seconded?
It was Mr. Neal.
Mr. Seconded by Honorable Mr. Neal. Agreed by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Sir, you've been found in violation of the terms and conditions of your supervision. Now, that's just the beginning. So now we're getting ready to go into phase two of your hearing, which is a very important phase, because at the end of phase two, the board members will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on supervision. We begin phase two, sir, by receiving some background information on you, and once we get that information, then we'll come back and talk with you, and the board will make its determination. So we're going to ask that you remain quiet as we get some background information from the Honorable Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby, sir, would you give us some background information on Mr. Fox?
On March 22, 2018, Mr. Fox was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 22, 2018 by Kingman PD on a warrant for failure to pay. He was back in DOC custody May 22, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of August 20th, 2018, 39 abscondes. Current conviction, 2017, shoplifting, two counts, each for 1 year, 3 months. Prior conviction, 2011, criminal trespass, first degree, 9 months. This is his second term in DOC. CUIR score 2-1, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2011, TIS release completion 4 months. His disciplinary violations are minimal. Other arrest, 1989, narcotic drug violation, Florida, guilty other sanction. 1993, stalking, Michigan, felony conviction, state prison. 2000, domestic violence, Michigan, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2003, theft of means of transportation, Michigan, felony conviction, state prison. 2003, flight from law vehicle, Michigan, felony conviction, state prison. And there's been several arrests since then, however, charges were either not filed or dismissed. His community risk score is a G3V4. I do have status of charges from Senior Officer Osborne, dated June 5th, 2018, that states, I contacted both Maricopa County and Mojave County Attorney's Office. Neither had a warrant in their system for the failure to pay. So no charges are shown as pending.
Okay, no charges shown as pending as of this moment. Okay, Donovan, Mr. Windhouse.
Sir, Mr. Westby, what was the projected release date?
The adjusted release date with those 10 days was August 20th, 2018.
Because we're showing that as, well, I'm showing it as September 28th, 2018.
That's what we show.
Let me, this is, I didn't do the spreadsheet, but let me go ahead and verify this. This
because that is the current sentence ending date, and then the, according to the way this usually works, the abscond days weren't figured in yet. And how many abscond days was it? I didn't get
39.
It. 39. Okay, I couldn't write
for okay, I did look on the RV screen, and it looks like when this sheet was prepared, they made an error on it, because I'm looking on the RV screen, and it does say with the 39 abscond days, the community supervision end date, the adjusted date is September 28th, 2018,
okay.
So that is the correct
okay,
date.
Okay, just wanted to be clear.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you
very much, Mr. Westfield. Thank you so very much, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, for that observation. Okay. Okay, we're going to move forward at this time. We're going to talk to you for a few moments to go advise Mr. Fox and give you an opportunity to tell the board anything you want to tell the board this morning, sir. We do take note that when you were released, your previous placement was to be at TLC, that's Transitional Lutheran Community in the Phoenix up there in Roosevelt. And then you, then on, what's that, April the 13th, the correctional officer, Murray, received a discharge letter from TLC. And that you were discharged, you signed out to go to work at 5 a.m. with no call in and no return, no fee paid, and no not in by 10:15 that same day. So what happened? You just left and you didn't tell them you was going, or what happened? No, I don't want to say what you did. So what did you do, sir? What happened?
Well, that day I had left at work at lunchtime. I left work at lunchtime, and I got a call from my lady's mother, and she had been in a car accident the night before, and I kind of panicked and made a poor decision, and I went back to King, and she was in a bad, she was ejected from the car, so, and I made a bad decision and went back to King to be with her. I did take a drug test, and right that the drug test that I was supposed to take, I did go take that, and then I got a phone call on my way, so then I panicked and went to see my gal, and I made a bad decision.
So when did you...
I was working, I had went through the Eagle Point Second Chance Center, and I have a job, and I just made a bad decision, and I shouldn't have.
So when did you notify your CO3 that you had that you had made that bad decision, or did you contact him at all that you had had that the situation had developed with your lady friends, a family member?
You talking about the parole officer?
Yes, sir. Did you tell your parole officer? I know I said still think it's your parole officer.
Yeah, I never called her, no. She's just now getting out of that. Well, yeah, no, I never did, sir.
Basically, I guess you've already answered my next question. In terms of employment, you were employed during this period, but you did,
yes.
But you did,
yes, sir.
You did not get back to your parole officer. Your parole officer was not brought up to date that you had this employment.
She definitely knew I was employed at Younger Brothers Door and Trim. She definitely knew.
What were you doing there? You were a carpenter? What were you doing there?
Yes, I make doors and trim. I am a carpenter, but I was working in their factory building trim and building doors and stuff for their field guys.
Did you have any other employment, or that was the employment that you had while you were out, sir?
No, that's the job that I had, and then I made a bad decision. But it was the lady I loved. I know it's stupid, but
as a board member, I want to commend you for your employment, because that's something that we always, as a board, look positive on when you're employed, and so we appreciate.
Well, I got out, and I got a job right away. The first 2 days of that, I did the Eagle Point Employment Center, and then got out and went and did my right work and got a job, and it's just I made one bad decision, and I know it doesn't count for anything, because I know it's just my responsibility to parole first, but I made a bad decision.
Okay, sir. Now, let me just ask this, I think you already explained to the board as it relates to, I think it was allegation number one, that you actually did drop the next day. Am I correct? You missed the day?
Yes, I did, sir. I dropped it. I'm sure it was clean because I'm not using it.
Okay. Did you use any drugs at all while you were out, sir?
No.
Alcohol, anything of that nature?
No.
Okay. And if I heard Honorable Mr. Kawan is correct, and what were you arrested? Up in Kingman? Where were you arrested, sir?
I was arrested at Kingman. I was actually...
Where were you doing up there, sir?
That's where my gal is. That's where my normal residency is. But the address that I have, that I gave, was for the Phoenix Halfway House, because my girlfriend's brother lives there, and he was on parole, so I couldn't go there. I didn't even try to go there. I just went to the Halfway House. I was doing well, and I had got a job right away, and she got into trouble, and I panicked. You know, that's my girl that I've known for years, and I panicked and made a bad decision.
What were you doing when the Kingman police beat you up, sir?
I was actually working, I do yards for a man that owns a bunch of rental houses there, and they came up, they saw me and pulled up. I had a warrant out for failure to pay fines that was out before I even got out of prison. So he stopped to get me for that and saw me and got me. But I was working, actually.
So he already knew you from the past, I mean, the police officer. So is that the reason that he stopped at that time to end up you being incarcerated? He could physically identify you, sir?
Yeah, I mean, there was a warrant out, so I'm sure he was looking for me or something. I mean, yeah, I guess so.
So
I didn't know that there was a failure to pay warrant out, but...
Okay, sir. Whether we let you out now or you get out in September, what are your plans, sir? What do you plan to do?
Well, I mean, if you let me out now, I would be going back to the Halfway House and continuing my parole and going back to Younger Brothers, and I'm sure they would give me my job back because I worked really hard, and I did call them and tell them of my situation, and they said, okay, no, I was a good employee for them, and I plan on just going to straight and narrow, you know, doing what I was doing when I was out the, just before. I just now that I know, I know not to make this decision. That's with my head before I got to think before I do. But it scared me. She was ejected from the car. Her mother called me, and I just made a bad decision.
And I think you already told us, but how's she doing now, sir?
She's okay.
We're glad to hear that, sir. Okay. I don't think I have any further questions. I'm going to see if other board members might have any further questions for you at this time. Distinguished board members, any questions for Mr. Fox? I don't see any for Mr. Fox. Anything else you want to offer the Honorable Mr. Westby? Mr. Westby doesn't have anything you want to offer, so now we're coming to us at the end of the hearing, sir. I want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board without repeating yourself. Anything else you want to tell the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its decision for today, sir? Anything else?
Yeah, I just like to apologize for having to take up your time like this. I should have just been staying on the track I was on and not making crazy decisions without thinking it through, and I apologize for the waste of your time on this. And that's all.
Okay, thank you so very much, but you're not wasting our time. And we really appreciate your speaking with the board and your honesty in speaking with the board this morning. So at this time, the board is going to prepare to go into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion. As you may not know, that we operate under the open meeting laws of the state of Arizona, which means that everything we do is done and said in the public. So we're going to ask that you remain quiet, but stay on the phone so that you can hear everything that board members will say during this discussion. So now the board is in discussion. This is a very unfortunate situation for Mr. Fox. I do understand, you know, the situation with his lady friend of a number of years having been in this accident, and as a result of her being in this accident, he reacted immediately, and he just did not stay in contact with his parole officer at that time, and that really created a problem. And I can understand, as one board member, his initial reaction, but I cannot understand going for 39 days. And if he had went out for a day or two, I could understand that, because he had not been in Arizona. Now, I'm not talking about in these other states that he had been in. But in Arizona, he had a minimum amount of contact with the criminal justice system, but somehow, after going for full 39 days, I just cannot condone that, but I'm prepared to listen to other board members who might think otherwise. So I made a discussion. I hear nothing from other board members at this time, therefore I'm going to offer a motion. My motion is going to be based upon information contained in warrant number 2018W1190, as well as testimony coming from Mr. Westby, representative of the Department of Corrections, as well as testimony coming from Mr. Fox. I'm going to move to revoke his community supervision based upon the same, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Paranis, the Honorable Mr. Neal, the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Sir, your community supervision has been revoked. I owe you going to be out on September the 28th of this year. You won't have to report to a parole officer. You can go out, do what you need to get done, and we hope to never see you in Orange again. Good luck, sir, and this will end your hearing. And if you would be kind enough to put the CO3 back on, we would certainly appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, here he is right here, sir.
Thank you so very much, sir.